Our second speaker is Clifton Nicholas. Clifton grew up in Kanesetake and began to take an active role in protecting the Kanesetake land base and fighting against the plans for the expansion on the of the Oka Golf Course on his people's land. He is presently coming to the completion of his BA in anthropology and wants to pursue graduate studies in anthropology.
As Gohandes eloquently stated, the whole concept of Canada and Canadian ownership of the land and the removal of native authority was a necessary step in removing the title from the land away from the Indian, away from the native person. I don't want to use the term Indian any longer because Indians are from India and I'm not an Indian. I'm a Ngohuwe, I'm a Mohawk or a Ganyokahaga person. And how they do this is how the government does this is they install governments forcibly on our people and they choose our leadership for us. And by choosing our leadership, they have yes men who go in to the councils, these fictitious governments that they've created called man councils, and these people will sell us out from under us. It's been happening and it's been going on and it's still going on. And it's something that we as Ungwahuma people, as native people, we have to stand together now, unite ourselves, and remove these pawns and go back to where we were prior to these pawns being put into place in our communities, and these pawns that keep us perpetually fighting amongst ourselves over these meager resources that they deem that we can have. As mentioned before the Europeans arrived on this island, on Turtle Island, we had this land and we shared it amongst ourselves. I mean, we're no angels either. We're human beings and we fought. Iroquoian people especially, we fought. We had blood feuds amongst ourselves. And we had a person by the name of Deganawida, the peacemaker, who came and created a peace and introduced us to the Great Law. And with the Great Law, what it is the first establishment of a United Nations type of forum. And through this forum, we're able to unify and become a strong kinship state, if you like to use that term. It's difficult, like Gahonda mentioned to me before, we're talking in the hall, when we use certain terminologies in English, it kind of distorts what the real perceptions are of these concepts that were presented to us by people like Deganawida. In his dream, in Deganawida's dream, he saw that all Ngohuwa people, all human beings, as we call ourselves Ngohuwa, that means the real people, human beings, and we should all come together as one, under one big longhouse, and unify ourselves, stop fighting amongst ourselves. Now, these introduction of the band council systems, and I have to say they're forced on us. We didn't have any choice over taking this. As Gahonda had stated, when they went down to the Grand River Territory, you know, Oswegan, and they took the RSMP there, and they forcibly removed our representatives, our democratically elected people who were presenting us in this council. They forcibly removed us, and they put in these puppets, that are too willing to take the money from the federal government to sell their people out. As some of the people who are familiar with some of the terminology presented by Lakota people in the West, when they say they're beside the Fort Indians, and there's the Indians who don't live beside the fort. Well, these are the Indians they always choose. These are the Ngohuwa people, the native people that they choose. You know, the people who are a little lighter, the skin gets lighter and they get a little more acceptance into the non-native community. And when they get into these positions of power, they take that money. With that money, they build buildings, these symbols of propaganda. To see, like, look at the infrastructure we're giving you. Look at all you're having now. Look at, you should be happy, so shut up. Shut up and take it. Why don't you want to be part of us? Because being part of you, then we'll be part of like the non-native community, then we lose who we are. And I think everybody should be proud of who they are and where they're from. And why should Ngohuwa people be proud of that? And they attempted to remove this by force again. Everything's by force. Nothing was ever talked about. It's either you do it this way or we'll roll over you. But getting back to these subversive governments that are installed in our communities, it's a way of destroying the fabric of the community. In the Oka crisis, and I like to call it the Gulf War, actually. we had a stooge who was elected. He wasn't even elected. He was put in place a junta, if you like, and he agreed with the town of Olca to allow the town of Olca to expand an existing golf course over a cemetery and over a pine forest. And what happened was there was a popular movement of people who were traditionally aligned with traditional people who decided that no more. And we took action, we took violent action if necessary, by all means necessary. And a lot of people asked, like, why were they armed? Why didn't they have guns? Why were they doing this? Why were they violent? Well, basically because police forces don't carry flowers when they come to speak to native people. They come to bust heads. So we armed ourselves. And lo and behold, it was necessary to use these arms. But then, once the conflict occurred, once the shootout occurred, it's part of a long chain of conflicts that have existed since 1492. But once this particular conflict occurred, they start looking around, looking for leaders. Who are your leaders? Why are you doing this? Like, why are they violent? Well, basically, I'm bleeding right now and I have to be violent. If you're not violent, then somebody's going to get killed. We took cues from other conflicts that had happened in Wounded Knee and so on, where people were being physically killed. And this was going to happen here, so we took up these guns. And then they looked and they found people who they could convince. Here's some money. You know, feed your money addiction. Leave the territory. Come on, evacuate. Leave, you know, like these people don't represent you. And they found other representatives to again subvert what we were trying to do as a collective. For the first time in my life did I ever, and still to this day I haven't seen it, but during the crisis I saw unity. I saw people who didn't talk to each other prior. They all stood together. You know, Pentecostal people, Longhouse people, all stood together. And we all had a common goal. Instead of like using our divisions in politics and using our divisions in religion, we all stood together. But there's always these little cracks that they find, and they go into those cracks with their money, and with that money they separate us. Now today, coming to this point today, 2002, again, you know, we have these band council people who are in power, and again they're dangling the carrot of land and money. After the Olca crisis, after 1990, the governments of Canada deemed it necessary to punish the people of Ganasadake, the people of Ganawaga to some extent, but mostly people of Ganasadake, because Ganasadake was visible. More visible because this is where the root of the problem started, was in Ganasadake. But what they did is they bought up all this land. Oh wow, look, it's changing, you know. Well, look, the PR firms are going to show you that everything's changing. They're buying land and everything's going to be all like peaches and cream now. But what really was they took this land, they had nice houses on these houses of the non-native people who used to live inside the territory, and they demolished all the houses. Like, this is supposedly Canadian taxpayers' money going towards this appropriation of land that was originally stolen, but they took this land, and instead of letting us have the houses, letting us have a little bit of a step forward as far as like social and economic issues are concerned, they did is they enacted a scorched earth policy. They tore down all these houses. Instead of repairing them, just tear it down. So again, it leaves us in a perpetual state of loss when we have nothing again. And again, they keep us fighting and arguing amongst ourselves. My ideas right now of what we should do as action, not only Ngwamua people, but even poor people in Montreal, poor people anywhere, non-native people and everybody, we're all human beings, we all bleed. When we go to the bathroom, it all smells just as bad as the next guy. So we're all human beings. I think what the Ganawida really meant is that everybody all unify. This is what's good about this sort of action, this sort of conference, is that we get to the roots and we move our way up. We get to people who will diffuse it to other people and then other people. And finally the word gets out this way. Movements and revolutions get started this way. I think it's time that we do a little more action instead of like just sitting down and watching, because I personally am getting back some of my identity. Like, I lost myself for a while. I'm starting to get back to my way of thinking, my way of being, and I think it's important that we stop it before it's too late. It's like the ship of fools, keep sailing north, you know, showing off our seamanship, going through the icebergs, but there's a couple of people on the ship saying, hey, we know, we got to stop, we're going to sink. We keep going forward on that ship, eventually that ship's going to sink. I think it's high time that we took over the ship again. Yeah.
Oh.